The sci-fi genre is full of tales of humans exploring Mars, sometimes because they're drawn to learning something that could possibly change the scope of the universe. And we can't forget the stories that basically feature humans being poor stewards of Earth and becoming forced to colonize another planet. But there are many real scientists today doing work that could get us to Mars and adjust more readily once we get there. A project at ASU, the Mars Exploration Mobile Unit, aims to create an exhibit that will get the public as close as possible to understanding what it would be like to live and work on Mars. The project brings together a variety of disciplines. I visited the in-progress project at ASU's Tempe campus. The workplace is essentially a trailer, where I met with Tanya Harrison, director of research for ASU's New Space Initiative and project lead for the Mars Habitat Project, and Roy Wasson-Valle, master of fine arts student at ASU and an experienced artist. We started by walking into the trailer, and Wasson-Valle began our tour there.
The main part is your first airlock door that you would enter, and then this chamber, this ramp, becomes your actual airlock. So what we would like to have is something that accordions out and creates a closed chamber. And then this is mostly for, of course, for the separation of atmosphere, but also all of your dust so that you could clean off before you enter the actual habitat.
When you mention the dust, it makes me think of almost in a Midwestern house, like a mud room, before you actually enter, you sort of take off your shoes, kick the mud off, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly how the team refers to it, as the mud room. So then once you come in here, to the left would be a series of shelves, which would be for your EVA suits, your boots, your helmets, any sort of equipment for going outside. Then you have overhead storage. And then on the right hand here, we have a small little bathroom. So it's toilet. It's a pit toilet that has a lift up floor so that you can use it. And then you put it down and becomes a shower so that can accommodate everybody. And then you can stand in here. And then we would have a little sink in the corner, and the shower head doubles as the faucet as well as the shower.
And Roy, how many people would be accommodated here?
The idea is that this would support three people at a time for a short excursion, so maybe 2 weeks. So this isn't meant to be a place that you would live in full time. It's meant to be something for small missions. So the reason that it's used for short missions is for prospecting, because the story narrative that I was given by the team is that this is something that is used by a mining company. So the idea is that 100 years from now, three mining companies have come together to form a new company called Moria. And Moria stands for Mars Oxygen Regolith Ice Alliance. And this would be one of the boxes or habitats that they would send out. So it's not a vehicle. It's meant to be dropped off by a larger vehicle. And the scientists there would prospect for ice and regolith and other materials for use at the colony. So because of that, we think of this more as a camping sort of vehicle, like a recreational vehicle on Mars, which is why we refer to it as the Mar-V. So my idea is that this vehicle itself is referred to as a MEME. So the MEME is the Mars Exploration Mobile Environment, but what it gets called is a Mar-V.
Tanya, how overall ambitious is this? Because we have this mix of different disciplines. That can be very exciting. It can also be more daunting, right?
It's a really interesting way to come about things, because usually when we're talking about designing things for Mars or any type of space base, you're always consulting scientists and engineers. And when we start thinking about the larger public going into space, not these highly trained astronauts, but people that might be working for these commercial ice mining companies 100 years from now on Mars, we have to start thinking in broader terms of industrial design and the things that people are going to want to be happy and comfortable and survive on another planet. So I think it's really cool to bring in these other disciplines to start thinking about that side of things, the artistic and the social and the design aspect of all of it.
I was thinking about how important it is to be able to, I don't know, bring about the senses, all the senses, or to actually make them adaptable to this kind of thing. I mean, how much does that sort of play into the premise, the fact that you can still sort of be the human you had been on Earth while you're in the Mar-V?
So we've been trying to think about things in terms of how do you engage as many of your senses as possible in the experience to make it feel very real and immersive. And so we've had to think a lot about things like, if you had a station like this somewhere on Mars, what would it smell like? What would it feel like on the inside? You know, does the dust smell like anything on Mars? That's been a big question that we've been wondering about. You know, what kind of smells would you get from the food or even the body odor that you have from people living in a confined space that you can't open up to the air to ventilate out? So those are all things that we've been trying to think about. How do we figure out what it will smell like? What would it sound like from a soundscape, the sound of dust devils going by, the wind hitting the outside of the HAB? If you were standing next to a Mars rover driving it on the surface, what would the rover sound like? So trying to think about the senses that you would be engaged with when you're living somewhere, but not the ones that are necessarily traditionally engaged when you're at, say, a museum or looking at pretty pictures of Mars online or something like that.
So how certain can you ultimately be then with any of this?
There's definitely guesswork. We're trying to base a lot of stuff on scientific research. So, you know, we know what the atmospheric composition is of Mars, and so we can simulate things like that. We have Martian meteorite samples in our collection here at ASU, so we've been talking about ways to extract scents from meteorite samples to figure out, with an actual piece of something like the Moon or Mars, what would it smell like if you could walk around without your helmet on, or if you brought that into your habitat, what would it make your habitat smell like? But some of it is artistic license as well, just imagining what would this type of thing be like, and that part's more fun.
Can I ask you about artistic license, Roy?
So the thing is that I've very much tried to make this as believable an experience as possible, but of course I'm guessing at all of it. I have done as much research as possible within the time frame, and of course I've gone back and watched all of the science fiction movies that I grew up with and are new, and so on. And there are some things that I'm working against as far as those go. And one of those things that you may notice are we have some fairly bright colors in here. Normally, Mars and space experiences are portrayed as, especially on Mars, as being gray and orange. And my feeling with that is that when you have an entire atmosphere or landscape that is orange and red, you really don't want to also have that inside of your habitat. So we're trying to have something that would be a relief from the outside world, so that you could, we still have a few industrial colors. You know, we have this sort of gray, green, and gray, but we also have this very bright blue, and we have some greens at the back and blues and spots of yellow. But I do have to also say that even with all the thought, all the things that I've been living and breathing as far as Mars go, I'm under no illusion that any of this will be accurate in 100 years. And I think this will be seen as something like Voyage to the Moon. But I'm doing the best that I can with the elements or the information that I have.
Are you having to look at it as someone with a vision, but also realizing that human beings, in order to get certain things done, have to be pragmatic, as you mentioned? People are not going to be, in 100 years, you may find out that all of this is something we didn't really know before.
It's definitely a speculative future, and it's interesting to start thinking about all of these pieces in terms of things that we might not have thought about. Like insect proteins is a big one. That's a really interesting thing that we probably haven't thought about too much, because I don't, as far as we know, think we're using them in space at the moment. So trying to think about things in terms of sustainability and how you're going to be able to actually keep things going like that on Mars is really interesting. We had another conversation the other day about food packaging, because we take things like plastics and aluminum foil and wax all for granted here, but on Mars none of those would be sustainable. So what do you use for the packaging of your food as well? And then for your construction materials or your clothing, every little thing that we take for granted here on Earth is basically not a renewable resource on Mars. And trying to get it from Earth to Mars is incredibly expensive. And at least with the technology we have right now, it's going to take you at least 8 months just to get there. So we're going to have to try and figure out a lot of ways around that once we're on Mars. And that provides some interesting questions as well for whether the stuff that we're doing to make things more sustainable in terms of space exploration can actually benefit us here on Earth to try to live more sustainably here as well.
I wanted to sneak in a question about your background a little bit. Because of working with different art spaces that you have, how much have you brought those sensibilities into that? Because, as we talked about, this is a team effort with many different disciplines. How did it appeal to you initially, and then how has it affected how you've gone about it? How much of that is this artistic vision that is in you naturally because you're an artistic person, and how much have you had to blend that, meld it with the other concepts?
Oh, that's good. So I came back to school in order to sort of hone my craft. But for the past 5 years, I've been working with my creative partner and wife, creating large-scale installation interactive shows. I've always dreamed of working in space or in the space industry. And as an artist, I didn't really know how to engage with that. So if the work that I'm doing here contributes in any way to the efforts of humanity to colonize and work in space, I feel very honored by that, to be a part of that. You don't have to go into space to work in the space industry. I personally never want to go to Mars or the moon or anywhere outside of the atmosphere. But I think it's a very great endeavor that humanity should pursue, because there's a greater benefit to everybody.
That was Roy Wasson-Valle and Tanya Harrison giving me a tour of the in-progress Mars Exploration Mobile Unit, affectionately known as the MARVI.